If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Neve Kavanagh.
And I'm Gerald Farrelly.
And you're listening to Agony Rants.
Welcome, 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 listener, to the show where a Eurovision winner and a comedian solve your problems, fix your lives.
I always feel you overstate that, I'm not going to lie.
Heal you. Spiritually, emotionally, physically.
Well, to be fair, you are a very good life coach.
Thank you.
I know. And it's the cardigan, I think. Definitely the cardigan.
I know. It's very much psychologist vibes.
It is. It is, actually. I feel like I should be lying on a sofa or something, or some sort of settee.
I feel like I'm dressed like the psychologist that you go into that you would feel you would be judged if you told them about, like, the affairs you're having or the, you know.
Really?
Your filthy past.
Oh, yeah. I wish I had a filthy past.
A judgmental psychiatrist. That's and you know what? €12. That's what this cost me.
Oh my God.
Doesn't owe me a penny back.
That's almost the most Irish thing you've ever done.
12 quid.
I know.
Look at it. Isn't it fantastic?
The only thing bit you left off at the end is what shop you bought it in.
TK Maxx.
Because it's normally, 12, €2 in pennies. I knew it wasn't pennies because, to be honest, anything over €10 is not a thing in pennies.
No. I have to say, do you know what, Neve? I was in the Isle of Man at the weekend.
Oh God, the Isle of Man.
The Isle of Man. They've no pennies.
How do they live?
I don't know.
Because they're isolated.
I absolutely don't know.
That's actually the wrong question. How are
they
dressed?
No Primark. They're all dressed very well, actually. Which really does tie in when you think about it.
Well.
But like, I was astonished. I've never been, like, in all the years I've been touring.
Right.
I've never been to a place that didn't have a Primark. I was trying to think, can I think of somewhere that I'd been? Now, I mean, in the, you know, UK and Ireland.
Okay, okay.
But I was astonished. And I always just do a little check because of a joke about Primark.
Oh, and how does that go down in the Isle of Man?
Well, I just didn't do it. But I always have a little check just to see, you know, I go into Google Maps, Primark. See
where is
the closest one.
I know.
And I mean, don't get me wrong, I do visit, Neve.
I was going to say, that's not just for the joke.
Love a Primark.
I know.
Like, I always go.
Especially in other territories.
I know.
Because they have different clothes.
Exactly. And also, some places are a bit more scoby than others. So all of the good penny stuff is still there. You know, they've bought all the leopard print tracksuits. You can't get them for love nor money. But if you want, you know, a nice grandfather shirt or, a fitted cardi, they're all there.
You get the good cardi.
You get the good one.
I know. It's funny, actually, because obviously I've lived up the north for the last 20 odd years. And so when the kids are small, of course, you'd always buy in pennies or Primark because it's so good, you know, from that point of view, especially when they're growing every 5 minutes. And so I used to come down and they had different clothes down here. So it looked like I'd bought them somewhere really exotic, but actually it was still pennies. And you could say pennies.
Neve, we've had quite a week. Lent has begun.
Oh, I know. I know. Did you observe all the important things on Lent?
When you say important things.
Like, did you make pancakes?
No.
Neither did I. We are the worst Lenten people.
I actually forgot about Pancake Tuesday.
Did you?
Yeah. Do you know what I did on Pancake Tuesday?
What did you do?
I made the pumpkin pie that I said I was going to make for Thanksgiving last year.
From November?
Yeah. I had bought all the stuff. It was in the fridge.
Has that pumpkin been in there since back in November? That's not going to... No, that's not a thing.
It was canned pumpkin.
Oh, okay.
I bought a canned pumpkin.
Didn't need to be in the fridge then.
Yeah. I mean, it would have done like... would have survived a nuclear war. But it's the first time I've ever made a pumpkin pie that it actually did turn out nice. Because the thing about pumpkin pie is, right, all of these American films...
They all eat it.
They sell it like it's absolutely delicious. But it's a very fine line getting a pumpkin pie right.
Is it?
I mean, if you get a pumpkin pie wrong, it tastes like you're eating turnip. Turnip, cream, cinnamon. It's not great.
No. No,
it's
that
not good.
That doesn't scan.
I've done that a few years. For a start, never make a pumpkin pie out of pumpkin.
Yeah, but even in this vegetable, you know, landscape at the moment, you know, the one where we're getting no vegetables in our shop. You know, a turnip pie with apple, you know, with cream and cinnamon doesn't, it's not, no.
No, it's disgusting. Do you know what has shocked me? Mm-hmm. Is that this is the year when I was on the cusp of being vegetarian. And I feel like that the vegetable shortage...
has got in the way of it.
I mean, it's just been a message.
That's God telling you, None of that shit.
Yeah, none of that garage.
No, none of that.
And it's interesting because, like, it's the first time I've ever come close to it because I do Veganuary every year, right? See, this is what I'm doing, right?
Do you find veganism, that's quite difficult, isn't it?
It's not as difficult as they say it is. I mean, it depends on how loose you are. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to go into the grave if I have a bit of cheese.
No, I know. And in my head, I'm looking back to the times we met during that time and you definitely weren't vegan those days.
No. Burgers all the way. No,
well, that and, you know, cookies and brownies and...
I know, yeah, it's the butter.
Coffees.
You see, the butter is the butter's the killer, I think. That's the hardest one. Because if you need to get rid of eggs, you can make like a flax egg.
Yeah, no, I know there are additives for that. Yes, I get that. Not that I've ever used them now. I don't know what
they're like. Actually not bad. Yeah, I thought they'd be a lot worse. Do you know what the most disgusting one is, though?
Okay.
Is that you use the juice of chickpeas as
for
an
what?
Egg.
As an egg?
Yeah.
How can you like, do
it's
that?
Like, it's like, what's it called? It's called aquafaba.
Oh, I've heard of that.
And what you do is you can whip it like an egg white. So you can actually make meringue out of the juice out of chickpeas.
Doesn't taste,
it actually tastes all right.
It doesn't taste like chickpeas.
No, it doesn't. I thought it would.
And I like chickpeas. I said that like it was a bad thing, like, but it just feels like it's the wrong thing.
I'm not
in a meringue.
Against chickpeas. I don't want it in the middle of my meringue.
Okay, fair enough.
So I was very nervous, but I did it. And
so
it's
no surprise
grand.
Chickpea in a meringue?
No. Everything has to be very well strained, Niamh. Very well strained. And so what I've been doing this year, right, until 10 minutes ago, I'd given up chocolate.
I know. And then somebody put
a box of milk tray in front of us.
I know.
I guess I'm not then.
but giving up stuff at Lent, it's a tricky one.
Niamh, do you know what it is? I think it's a load of people who just like to be miserable. That's what it is.
No, it's not true. No, that's not true. Because actually, when I was young, we gave up the sweets and then you gorged yourself on the Easter Sunday and the sugar high was magnificent.
But like, it really annoys me, right? Because you see all of these pearl-clutching bastards who don't eat a biscuit from one end of the week to the next just because it's Lent. And you're like, come on.
No,
it's a biscuit. You've had your dinner. Give me a break.
I mean, you'd be a bit cross if they were eating it before, though, right?
Yeah. No, but I just feel that this whole thing of, you know, spiritual cleansing through self-deprivation, I'm just like, come on.
I know.
We're all on the... We get one spin of the wheel down here.
I know, you're right. But actually, the thing about Lent is, right, you know the big days, right? So you've got Pancake Tuesday, right? Or Shrove Tuesday. It's just become a Pancake Tuesday. And then you have the day that you get your forehead mucked up, you know, the ashes.
Do you know what? I'm sorry. Anybody that is walking around in this day and age with ashes on their forehead.
Why not?
I'm just like, come on. There was a woman on one of those shows, you know, where they stop people in the street.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like the local whinge.
Okay.
It's like, go on, what's going on? Go on, have a whinge. Here's a microphone.
Okay.
And I don't know what the hell she was giving out about, but she was giving out left, right, and centre. Nothing was good enough. And I was like, there's a woman that looks like she's headbutted a lump of coal. And we're all supposed to take this seriously.
And you know, during COVID, they were driving up, doing a drive-through ashes.
I know, I saw that.
Isn't that amazing?
Now, you have to admire that.
No, I think that makes sense. But I mean, for the people who care about it now, Grode.
They can care, yeah, care all you want. Do you know what I mean?
I know.
Like, say all the prayers you want. Whatever you want to do. Crucify yourself to your shed, for all I care.
Oh my God.
But I'm sorry, if you're walking around... with a lump of ash on your forehead, don't expect people to not look twice.
Yeah, you'd be thinking, what's going on with that? Anyway, as I was saying, right, you know you have those 2 days, but did you know there used to be a thing called Clean Monday?
Is that like when you have a load of fibre on Sunday?
Well, like, it would definitely refer to...
Bow like a new pin.
I did a bit of a
deep dive for the week.
On Lent. I was kind of looking for some fun facts because when he said we were going to talk about Lent, I said last time we did Lent, I wasn't as prepared. I just talked about giving up the sweets or the time I went to Mass every day instead, which was even worse than giving up the sweets.
I forgot you went to Mass every day.
I did every day. I was very young.
What age were you?
Now, I was in that funny age. I'd say it was about 13 or 14. I thought it was like a clever plan to not have to give up sweets, but I honestly gave up everything after that. Right. Anyway.
Your commitment.
I did it.
Your commitment to your sweet tooth is impressive.
I did.
You would rather do 40 masses
never
than pass the tuba roller. I have to say, I applaud that, Niamh Kavanagh. That's the reason we're friends. I don't think we should be depriving ourselves of anything.
No, I agree.
I think live for the minute.
Oh, dear.
But you know, like, you could run out and be hit by a bus. I take the same approach with insurance, pensions.
Oh, I don't believe that for
insurance,
1 minute.
Insurance, pensions, Lent. They're all the same as far as I'm concerned.
That's just being self-employed. That's nothing to do with Lent, right? No, but look, the thing about Clean Monday, Clean Monday was, and I quote, leaving behind the sinful attitudes. Now,
what would they be now?
And you know, the non-fasting foods. But that's the second thing.
What's non-fasting foods?
Oh, it'll be things like meat and... All I know is meat, anyway.
I know that there were certain days that my granny...
Only ate fish?
No, she'd have a cracker.
No. Oh.
You know, cracker and water. I was like, I'm sorry, we're not in the maze.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is, it's supposed to be about resetting and understanding and taking time to think about. So you don't eat more than you need to. It's about regrouping.
You can reset with a curly whirly.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Not always. I once broke a tooth on a curly.
On a curly whirly?
Yeah, I know. I put it in the fridge. That was my own fault.
Oh, no, that's the thing. Chocolate out of the fridge. Are you a chocolate out of the fridge person or not?
It depends. If it's the middle of summer, yeah. Have you ever opened a chocolate bar that's melted and you're sucking it out of the packet?
Worst thing in the world.
Especially when you really want a chocolate. That is the worst thing. So, but not as a rule. I like to keep my chocolate out of the...
Really?
Out of the fridge. But I don't mind it being in the fridge.
I have to say, I love chocolate in the fridge.
Do
I keep
you?
All of my chocolate in the fridge.
Don't do the
curly.
And
apparently
worry,
it's supposed to be a very basic thing to do.
What do you mean basic?
You know, like people that wouldn't be the most sophisticated.
Well, you understand, people go to the trouble of tempering chocolate, which means they don't put it down and it's too cold and all fancy chocolates. And then you put them in the fridge, which is completely wrong. It takes the shine off them and everything.
I know, but if you're eating a kilo of dairy milk.
You're not considering the shine on it.
You're not considering the shine. I just think I want this cold because it's going to sit on my naked belly for an hour while I'm watching Die Hard.
I'm sure Bruce Willis would be delighted with that concept.
So nothing. So there, as I said, I'm a very sophisticated person.
Okay, so Lent is not for you then.
No, it's not.
Definitely
for me.
Not for you.
Do you know what? I'd love it though. I do think that all of these things that are opportunities for self-improvement, I think they're a good idea. Like, I do think New Year's resolutions are a good idea.
Yeah, but actually the other thing about Lent is it's supposed to prepare you for the work that you're going to do, apparently. Well, that's according to the Bible, that's what happened with Jesus, although he wasn't the first one to do it, as we know, right?
Explain, because you started this before.
I know, I did a deep dive. I mean, say that I didn't do my research on the Lent.
I have to say, when Niamh does a deep dive, she will come up with a fact that will knock you out of your stomach.
Yeah.
Apparently Jesus.
Right, isn't the first person to do it.
To do the 40 days and 40 nights in
Not
the desert.
In the Bible. No, Moses was the first.
So why did Jesus do it?
I don't know. Moses got the Ten Commandments. Maybe he wanted something similar. And then Elijah did it as well.
Was that before or after Jesus?
Who, Elijah?
Yeah.
No, he's before. He's in the Old Testament.
So Jesus was the third person to do it?
Yeah. It's like not even new.
This is like when we got all excited about, you know, Will Young. When Michelle McManus had won it a couple of years previous. Why? Why is Jesus the one that we talk about?
You are
then?
Definitely counting that the people who are listening to this are as old as us.
Look.
They don't necessarily know who those people are.
We know exactly who the people are that listen to us. It's women. It's gay men. They're 30s to 40s.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
They all have a midlife crisis. Is very, very
they
early.
They all know who Michelle McManus is.
Of course, they know.
Will Young is
a goddess.
I know she is amazing. But anyway, so he wasn't the first, but apparently it was supposed to prepare them for the job that was ahead of them, their vocation. So I was thinking, if I did my 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, would I get my album made? Maybe that might work.
I don't know. There's only so much that it does.
I know, and I don't know if I'm really good at the fasting.
You see, that's the thing. I don't believe for a second he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights.
Well, I'd say angels brought him something.
Yeah.
He kept finding food under bushes, I'd say.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We all could see what he did with the five loaves and the two fishes.
I know, surely. Surely.
I think Moses must have been really pissed off.
Why?
Because, like, Jesus got all the credit for it.
I know he did. To be fair, he did. And funny enough, when I was reading it, it said only in the three Gospels they talk about the 40 days and 40 nights. I think John knew it. Knew
Who's
that he
John,
hadn't.
Then?
John. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John are the four Bibles in the New Testament, right? So Matthew, Mark and Luke apparently refer to the 40
Matthew,
days.
Matthew, Mark, Luke and John.
No,
Matthew,
John.
Mark,
Luke and John. That's the song.
Are they not the Beatles?
No, they're not the Beatles. It's not... We're not here doing a Bible studies class, right? I'm just saying these are the... When you put it in Lent, that's what it says. Either that or it's about money that you borrowed in the past, right? That's what Lent... It's either that or that. I did my best to get some facts and this is all I'm getting, right? And the other fact I uncovered, just for your thing, is that Mother's Day in the UK is always 2 weeks before Easter Sunday.
And that would have been mid-fast in the desert.
Yeah.
So is that when Mary was like, now you get your act together. Sleeping in a desert. It's not Coachella. Get out and get a job. Your father's a carpenter, for Christ's sake. That must be it.
I think
it was like, it's the Sunday that Mary was up the wall.
I know, but apparently that's it. It's part of the Lenten kind of thing. One of the Sundays is Mothering Sunday.
She's probably ringing Elizabeth.
Elizabeth.
He's out in the desert again. He's out in the desert again.
What's your John doing? Because to be fair, Elizabeth's John was...
He was baptising.
Yeah, he was out in the desert dunking people.
Yeah, he was. I'd say he was a plumber with a sideline.
Oh, he could have been. Oh yeah, I'd say.
So... Okay.
So I've got lots of facts about Lent. You thought I was just going to come in here and talk about giving up sweets, but I actually got real facts.
You did a deep dive on Bible studies. Well, Bible studies with Niamh. Do you know what?
That's not fair. I won't have that.
No, I think that's excellent. This is the sort of thing that we need more of on the show. Niamh doing
actually
a deep dive.
Actually doing a bit
dive.
Of work.
Now, what we did was we did a little bit of a shout out, because we haven't done a shout out in a while,
Niamh. No, we haven't.
And I swear to God, they came from the hills.
I know. They lost the run themselves.
They really did. They lost the run themselves. Loads of people want to get in touch and tell us exactly what they thought of Lent. And
None of them gave those facts. None of them.
Nobody gave facts.
No.
And nobody was particularly positive either.
No.
Josh Ridgway says, Lent is boring. I want all of my vices. And do you know what? That's a sentiment that I agree with.
Yeah.
Because I think that we are all the sum of our parts.
Okay.
You know, vices included. We have to just accept them.
Right.
Accept yourself. There's no point in starving yourself in a desert just because you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Shortchange somebody in a shop or,
you know,
passed a beggar or, you know, didn't heal a leper.
Oh.
No, whatever.
Can you heal a leper?
You can tell them to cop on and stop begging outside a shop. I mean, that's a good start. go to a doctor.
Go to a doctor. Jesus wept.
What happened to leprosy? You don't hear that anymore.
It kind of fell off the map.
It did.
I'm pretty sure leprosy still exists, but I think it's
managed.
Like,
do we call it eczema now?
No.
I mean, it just doesn't sound great. You know, Jesus healed all the people with eczema. I think if you're suffering from eczema,
now,
it would be
fair,
a cure as a cure.
To be fair.
But like...
Now that you mentioned, I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah.
I'm a little afraid to, because sometimes when you put in searches on...
What happened to leprosy? It seems back in the day it was the big thing.
It was a big thing. It was, and certainly in that part of the Bible it was. There was a lot of lepers. I don't know. It's not as rife, but then there's lots of things that are not as rife.
And Jesus used to touch them.
Now?
Say the lepers would have a lot to say about that today.
Now there'd be some sort of register involved.
Lenny says chocolate bars, sweets and crisps to lose a bit of weight, nothing to do with Jesus.
Oh, well, Lenny.
Yeah, that's an opportunity for self-improvement.
Yeah.
Paula Nash says, Lent, I say chocolate every year. I'm 9 dairy milks in already.
Oh, An opportunity to counteract binge eating, drinking, swearing for a finite amount of time. Do you know what's funny? Actually, I knew a guy who used to give up alcohol for Lent, except for Patrick's Day. They always eat whatever, or drink whatever they want on Patrick's Day. I don't know why that...
Well, apparently 40 days and 40 nights excludes all the Sundays in Lent.
No, it doesn't.
It does, yeah, because Lent is actually 40... I think it works out.
I didn't come up with my facts today.
Days.
There was no mention of that in the facts.
Well, you need to go back and check your facts.
That's it. Sorry.
But apparently, yeah. So you can on Sunday you can.
I think we tried to implement that at some point, and I think my mother wasn't as interested in it as I was.
Wait a second. So if that's the way Lent works, are we saying that Jesus did 40 days and 40 nights in the desert, but ate on a Sunday?
It's unlikely.
Megan says, of course, I'm trying to give up swearing in front of my kids. But how else will you call them, Megan? Ruth says, I think it should be about taking up things rather than giving them up. Now, I think that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, like what? Maybe an extra bar of chocolate or?
No, just like a new hobby or a little thing.
Oh, now. You know me, I love a new thing.
I know.
A new challenge.
Do you know what my new thing is, Niamh? And
what's
I'm having
your new
a ball.
Thing?
Oh. I'm having a ball. I'm making kombucha.
What the hell is that?
Kombucha. It's basically one of my New Year's resolutions was I'm giving up sparkly drinks.
Oh, okay.
So I have sparkly water, but that's it. Like I don't no Coke, no Fanta, anything.
Would you have
like
drunk
that.
A lot of that before?
Well, do you know what because I don't drink,
yeah.
When I get offered a drink,
you have to.
I always have a Coke.
Oh God.
So then I was just like, I'm actually drinking a lot of Coke here.
I can't be having it.
So I just gave up. But I do like a fizzy drink. Like
yeah,
I like the feel of a fizzy drink.
Yeah, my husband's the same. He likes sparkling water, and then, you know, he like thinks he's drinking water when he's drinking the sparkling water. So it kind of makes him feel like it's less like drinking water. I think that's the best way I can describe
exactly.
it. I love water, so I drink loads of water.
So kombucha, you basically make it out of tea. Like black tea.
Right.
And sugar. And water.
Okay.
And then you put in it a thing called a SCOBY, which is a big lump of bacteria. It's like a culture.
Okay.
And then you brew it in a like a little tank on your counter for 2 to 3 weeks. And then it's done in 2 to 3 weeks. And what happens is all the bacteria in the SCOBY eats all of the tea and the sugar. So you're left with this thing that tastes like
pee.
It's kind of like lilt, I guess. Flat lilt, a little bit like flat lilt, less sweet though.
Okay.
Because the sugar has been eaten up by the bacteria.
Right.
And then what you do is you take that and you put it into a bottle with, say, you know, some blitzed up strawberries. You seal the lid and then give it 3 days, and the sugar will put bubbles into it. And then you put it in the fridge and that locks all the bubbles in. And then you've got like a strawberry drink, a strawberry fizzy drink.
That's more of a commitment than my husband.
It's great. I have to say, I'm having a ball.
I can imagine you are.
And it's very nice. And the thing about it is, it's very good for you. Like it's really good for your gut and it's really good for your cholesterol and other things.
And who sold you that?
Do you know, I'll tell you, I found a book.
You found a book.
Because in my apartment block, right, there is a kind of like a little bookshelf.
Oh, is it that where you put a book and then somebody lifts a book? Is that that kind of thing?
Well.
Or is that somebody's bookshelf?
Or if somebody was moving stuff around and left a load of books there. But I went through, I had a look and there's a book on kombucha and I'd heard about it and I tasted it and it does taste a bit weird and I've always wondered
what it is.
The point of it is.
So where'd you get the SCOBY? Where's that?
You can order them online.
Is that like off a dealer?
What happens is every time you brew kombucha, another one grows, another SCOBY grows underneath it. So basically you buy one SCOBY and you've got them forever.
Oh, it's like the sourdough.
It's very interesting.
The sourdough of drinks.
Yes, that's exactly what it is, the fermented drink.
Okay.
Niamh, I feel like I'm not getting the credit for this. Do you know what?
Next
Agony Rants record, I'm going to bring you a bottle of kombucha.
I'm very impressed. I am very impressed with your commitment and never deny your abilities to go beyond, but no.
Actually, we're doing a radio interview tomorrow, Niamh.
No.
I'm bringing you a bottle of kombucha.
Oh, bring that then.
I will.
I'll be sure to let you know.
And I want the bottle back, Niamh.
No!
So if you think you're throwing it in the bin in an apple green, you've another thing coming. What else do we have? Absolutely not. Fiona says, who bothers with that shit? Always was the kind of, give up the chocolate for this Lent.
Okay, Fiona.
There's a whole heap of stuff going on there, I think.
Try that again. Fiona says, who bothers with that shit? Always was the kind of, give up the chocolate for this Lent. No, on a second read, that still makes absolutely no sense, Fiona.
Here, I love this one. Linda Catherine Morgan says, Catholic guilt occupying 40 days a year? Nah, she says. But actually, Catholic guilt should be with you for life. Is that not a thing?
Sister Kavanagh of the Little Sisters.
Saying, is that not part of being a Catholic? Guilt.
It is a part of being a Catholic. That's the bit I don't like.
I
hate feeling guilty about things. Now, Sonia says reducing to one can of Coke a day and giving up four skinny Dairy Milk chocolate bars.
Is this the Sonia? Are you getting Sonia back in again?
No, Sonia. Sonia won't interact.
Okay, that's okay.
No matter how often I tag her, she... You have to respect that.
I'll leave it there. Okay.
Well, Sonia, brew some kombucha. The other thing I'm doing, I'm making my own almond milk.
You told me about that.
Yeah, I bought a nut bag. It's a second nut bag.
So you've been buying Scobies and nut bags. What's your search history like on Amazon?
Honest to God, I've become like a crusty old hippie.
So what are they actually suggesting that you buy now? Because you know the way they suggest things recommended for you. Between Scobies and nut bags,
Turned off all of my recommendations because I bought the box set of Murder, She Wrote, right?
And what do they recommend?
And the next thing they recommend was How a Gay Man Can Have a Happier Life as a book. It's like, that's bang on the money, but I don't need it. Attention, Agony Rants listeners. I am on tour with my show, Glamour Hammer, and I'll be starting the spring leg of the tour in March. And it's mostly sold out, but there are tickets left for the Marketplace in Armagh. Many, many, many tickets left for the Marketplace in Armagh. There are a couple left for Belfast at the Limelight and for Glore in Ennis and the Crescent Concert Hall in Drogheda and on Green On in Letterkenny. So the rest of them are gone, I'm afraid. In the UK, the first London show at the Bloomsbury Theatre has some seats, and also I'll be at the Stand Comedy Clubs in Newcastle, Edinburgh and Glasgow. And you could have a family reunion at those because there's loads of space. Tickets are at GarrowFairley.com or you can follow the link in my bio on Instagram.
We are pausing for a moment to remind you that Agony Rants is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network. If you've enjoyed the 70 plus episodes that we have lovingly created of Agony Rants, then you can show us some love right back by leaving us a nice review or a 5-star rating wherever you downloaded this every time you open the app, because that will help other people find us. Also, we would love to keep making the show, and to make sure that happens, you can support us by subscribing to Headstuff Plus, where you will get special Agony Rants bonus episodes. You will also get access to all of the bonus episodes from the other shows on Headstuff, including this one.
The show we are cross-promoting this week is Personality Bingo with Tom Moran. Now, Personality Bingo is a show that was on the Headstuff Network a couple of years ago, and it took a very long break, and now it has returned.
Wow.
It's a show where Tom interviews a guest who you will probably know, and he does that by using a bingo machine.
Okay.
Yeah, and each number corresponds to a question, and Tom asks it.
Okay. And so, is it like, do you have to vet the questions beforehand or what happens there?
No.
Oh dear.
Don't. It's like a deep dive on somebody's life.
Oh my goodness.
And it's well worth the listen. Here's the clip.
Hey guys, Tom Moran here. I am the host of Personality Bingo, a podcast where we put 60 minutes on the clock. We've got a bingo machine with 60 balls in it. Here you go. And we've got 60 corresponding questions. The questions can be anything from, have you ever seen a ghost? To, what's the most important quality for you in a romantic partner? To, have you ever or would you ever consider seeing a fortune teller? In season 2 of Personality Bingo, we've got episodes with Brezzy. We've got Emma Kerwin. We've got Justine Stafford. If you want to go back into the archives, we've got 130 episodes there, including episodes with Paul Mescal. That's Personality Bingo with me, Tom Moran.
We have a follow-up. Well, it's not really a follow-up. It's a message from Anya Collins. And she says, I have to tell you, I started Agony Rants 2 weeks ago and it's so funny. I'm so happy. I have a whole year's back catalogue to listen to on my walks. You can tell Niamh, I made my Holy Communion the day of the Eurovision in Mill Street. I'm from Cork. And we had to rush home from the celebrations to watch it.
Oh, that sounds fabulous, Anya.
So hello, Anya. Welcome to the club.
Welcome to the club. And I'm really, really pleased that you've just reminded me that you were much younger than me when... No, I'm kidding. That's amazing.
She won the Eurovision when she was a mere child.
I was like 4. Anyway.
We have a problem.
I love a problem.
Okay. Dear Niamh and Garrod, as you would say yourself, we have a problem.
Oh, Houston.
My father died last year after a long illness. My mother and father had a very tortured relationship.
Are we qualified for this?
I really don't think so. Oh God. If they had been from a different time, they would have got divorced, but they stayed together and were both miserable. My mother had a very hard life with my dad. He was a very difficult man to live with. I found it very tough to be on the sidelines and watch how their marriage played out. Oh God. But fair play to my mother. She looked after him to the very end and she passed away, and he passed away earlier this year. My mother is in her mid-70s and is part of a church group, and she told us that she has been spending a lot of time with a widower from that group. Well.
Wow.
They have been going for dinner and my sister saw them walking around the town arm in arm. Oh my God. I'm shocked. This is not what I would have expected. I'm happy for her, but my older sister is absolutely furious. She was always a daddy's girl and she wants us to talk to our mother about it. I feel like I'm caught in the middle. My sister thinks he is a gold digger, but he has his own house and I don't know where my sister thinks the gold is because my mother is not well off. I guess my mother is probably a bit too happy given her husband passed away 10 months ago. Oh God.
Wow.
What do you think I should do? I should say I don't feel my mother is vulnerable at all. I think she is just trying to enjoy herself. God, I can't believe I'm even writing that. For God's sake, don't use my name. Also, I am an idiot. I meant to book tickets for your show in Cork and now it is sold out. Please do another one. Thanks. And then they don't leave a name.
Okay.
Wow. Now, firstly, before we even answer, we have to say this is very much a professionals would give better advice, but we're just going to give our take.
Yeah. There's a difference between a take and advice. And I would, this is the first thing I'm going to start with, right, is... There's a lot of loss here and a lot of difficulties and complications. So everybody's affected by this. Your mum, yourself and your sisters and all the whole family is going to be affected by the situation, just like your dad and all. It's quite difficult. A bit of a head melter all around.
Yeah.
And Garrod and I would absolutely actively encourage anybody who is struggling with anything like that to go and speak to people in the bereavement counselling. Is very important. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think even if you feel okay, I think it's not a bad thing to go and approach because actually people have a funny thing about therapy or counselling and they kind of feel that they shouldn't really get involved in it. But actually you sometimes feel an awful lot better about talking to someone.
Totally.
And it's not about judgment, it's not about anything. It's about sometimes just really teasing out how you feel in a very safe environment. Having said that, I do have an opinion on this.
Me too.
I have a couple of opinions. First of all, your sister is probably dealing with grief and that's a big thing. And regardless of how your father was or your mother or their relationship was and how it affected them, the thing is, she still is grieving the loss of your father. And so it probably is your mum and yourself. There's a lot of grief here.
Yeah, there's a lot of it.
And it's fresh. And the thing is, grief can go on for a very long time and different people deal with grief in different ways.
In very different ways, yeah.
The truth is, your mother's probably been grieving the loss of a relationship with your father a long time. And on top of that, you're not in the relationship, no matter how you look at it. So the fact that she stayed and looked after him, that in itself, even if you were looking after the person you loved more on the planet, that has its own journey to make. Yeah. So your mother may have been dealing with grief a lot longer than you have been.
Yeah.
I would say that you don't need to get in the middle of this. You can be honest with your sisters and say, look, I feel your pain. I feel it's very difficult. I don't have any great issue. The only thing I think we should be asking our mother is, are you okay?
Yeah.
That's what I think. And the truth is, it's okay for you to say to your sisters, I don't want to get him in the middle of this. I want to make sure she's okay. I want to make sure you're okay. I love you both. That's it. Because actually, it's fraught with danger, this one.
There's loads of danger. And yeah. It's like, the thing about it is, right, for a start, your mother has probably, you know, like as Niamh said, she's grieved in loads of different ways.
Yeah.
She grieved when she, I guess, realised maybe that the marriage wasn't going to be a happy one.
Yeah.
She grieved that was a loss. She grieved when your father got sick.
Yeah.
And when somebody has a long illness, by the time they do actually die from that illness, you go through the process of loss. The process started a good while ago. Mm. And like, I have to say, and as much as your sister might find this difficult, I kind of admire your mother.
For getting out and living her life.
And just going, do you know what? I'm like, if I was to sit around and think about the time that I've had over the past few years, she probably would get very down about it. So she just decided, I'm just getting up and getting on with things.
And let's be honest, she's in her mid 70s, right?
Yeah.
You know, she's probably young in her outlook, all those things. It's easy for us, maybe in, you know, in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, you're starting to see, as I get closer up to that section, I'm aware that I have less ahead of me than I have behind me.
Totally.
So she's already spent many years kind of getting through that. And I think you kind of get that, you know. And to be honest, they might just be friends. So what? And yeah. So what? Like, so
they
what?
They also could be having an amazing time.
They could be doing all sorts of things. You don't know. But the point is, it's really important. I mean, how would your sister feel? It's a valid question. How would your sister feel if her mother came and said, you shouldn't be hanging around with somebody else?
Exactly.
It's not, you know, you don't get the chance to tell people who they should or shouldn't be with. It's hurtful, I'm sure, to your sister if she feels it's too soon. But this isn't about her life.
No. And your sister, maybe she should go and, you know.
She definitely could do some counselling. And I think, to be fair, I think she has a valid, it's valid that she feels that way. You should never belittle that. But at the same time, you have to say to her, look, I get that you're struggling with it, but actually all we need to make sure is that she's okay.
And you know what?
Yeah.
The amount of people who, you know, when they lose a parent, they pussyfoot around that thing of saying to the surviving parent, you know, and I know of situations where this has happened, where they kind of wonder, I feel like, should I say something to them like that? It is all right if they want to take up with somebody else, or they want to, you know. Like, and, you know, it's hard for, I think, a child to say that to their parents when they've only ever known their parents as together. But I think it's kind of great that this woman has kind of thought, well, I still have a life to live here.
Yeah, and you know, she does have a life to live. I mean, and she, you know, even if they were the most devoted couple, the truth is that she has spent many years clearly caring for someone, and that is grueling.
Yeah.
And as much as you love them and care for them, but the whole, it's like the illness doesn't just happen to her.
It happens to everybody.
And so it has affected you all in it. So, I mean, I think, to be fair, you know, I think this is quite difficult, and I can understand why you're really, really struggling to know the best thing here. Going in and sitting down with your parents, your sister is definitely hurting. So it's okay to say to her, all we need to do is check if she's okay. This is where we start, and then we go from there. But the truth of it is, you shouldn't be confronting anything, because your mum is going through what she's doing. She's out living her life. Your sister is not in a place where she can be calm about that. She probably needs to go and speak to somebody. You know, grief counselling is a fantastic thing to do with that.
Oh, it's brilliant. Yeah. I've done bereavement counselling when my friend died. And you just feel so amazing.
Yeah.
Because the thing about it is, it's a process that everybody goes on.
Yeah.
Hits us all.
Yeah.
And it's textbook. The things they tell you will happen.
Like, yeah.
And, you know, and maybe your sister does need a bit of that. Maybe her mom needs a bit of that.
Yeah.
But you know what? After what she's been through, if you're saying that your mom is happy, grand.
But everybody has to do it in their own way. So, I mean, it's easy to say, oh, the sister's wrong. But there's no wrong or right here. There's just the way you're dealing.
I mean, it's just, you can only really plow your own field with something like this, I think.
Yeah. But I mean, I think what you're looking for is a way to kind of resolve it and maybe not be in the middle of it. But I think the truth is that you actually need to make sure everybody's okay. Not just your mum, but your sister too. I think that's the biggest thing. And if you just reiterate that, if it comes up, I think eventually it will pass. And but the problem is, if you start to try to face these things head on at this stage, the problem is you're in danger of splintering. And that's no good, you know.
No.
Yeah. No, it's a tough one.
I have to say, admire the mother.
Yeah, no.
I have to say, fair play to her.
I admire them all. It's quite a difficult situation because although the mother cared, I imagine that the kids were involved too. And it's not a process. Yeah. And if you've watched your parents go through maybe not been very happy together, that must be very hard.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot going on in this, which is not just the one thing.
And like, make sure you just look after yourself in this because, you know, like... Family stuff is all consuming because it's like that thing. And it's even us reading the letter, we can see every side on this.
Yeah.
But when you're in the middle of it, that can absolutely be draining.
Yeah,
so
no, it is.
Just look after yourself and take your head out of it. And there's no harm in just fobbing these people off because you've got your own thing to go through.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, maybe even grief. You know, you can do the group grief counsel if you wanted or whatever. Say, but look, at the end of the day, you can only really look after yourself, but just check in on others. I cannot extol the virtues of that. You know, your sister is not in a position to insist that you all sit down and make this a big deal. If you are dealing with, I can see that you say you're shocked, but I think you're trying to figure out a way to kind of ratify it and to really, or sorry, rationalize it in your head. And it's completely sensible that you do. You know, so you're doing all the right things, but it's bound to be disorientating, the whole situation. And let's be honest, no matter what happened with your dad or how you feel about him, the truth is you've lost your dad.
Yeah.
And that's big for all of you.
Yeah, it's big for all of you. And you know what? Just keep mind yourself.
Yeah.
Keep your head above water. And also just try not to get too involved in other people's
process
because that clouds your own process, and you can get involved as much as you want and you can listen to them as much as you want, but you know yourself, as soon as you take a side or
it's too hard,
you know, advise somebody or even try to talk to somebody on behalf of somebody else.
Yeah, it's all too raw for you as
it's
a group.
It's too raw and the, you'll end up
touch
just
off
getting,
things that shouldn't be there.
And do you know what? And if experience has taught me anything, it's the person that is the most well-meaning in these situations is the one that comes out the worst.
Yeah, very true.
It really, really is.
Because they all get cross at it.
They all need someone to be cross at. And the person they'll be cross at is you. And the reason that they'll be cross at you is because they're both talking to you, you're the easy one for them to get annoyed at. Because if your sister found it easy to talk to
her mother,
she wouldn't be saying it through you.
No, very true. I mean, this is a very serious resolution and I appreciate that we like to keep it very lighthearted, but I cannot extol the virtues of making sure that you're safe and everybody's good.
Yeah.
That's that to me.
But we support
and
you.
We absolutely support you in it and also cannot extol the virtues of counseling.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. Do it.
Not enough.
Do it. Treat amazing. Yourself.
Yeah.
Treat yourself. That's what you should do.
Yeah.
Treat yourself to counseling. Because it's lovely just sitting there and talking about yourself.
I know.
And look,
Grohl's so good at it.
My Cork show is sold out, but I have production seats, so I'll give you 2 free tickets. So just send me your name. Well, your full name. I think we have your first name, but I think that might be wrong.
Okay.
But anyway.
Get in touch.
Get in touch.
And listen, look after yourself and let us know how you get on. I hope everything's okay.
Yeah. Mind yourself.
So,
agonyrants@gmail.com. If you would like to get in touch, we want to hear your criticisms, your show suggestions,
your stories,
your problems,
your kombucha recipes,
or
what to do with your nut bags, anything like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
how to squash your nut bags.
What to do with your leftover, with your nut remnants.
How do you milk your nut bag?
Once I've milked me nuts, I make cookies out of what's left. Anyway. If you've enjoyed the show, we'd love it if you became a member of Head Stuff Plus. I think you owe it to us at this point. And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.